Scott Walker.
You're tuned to WGNS on this Tuesday morning. And this morning we have in studio from the Murfreesboro Parks and Rec. And I guess Nate will start out with you. Nate Williams is the president, the CEO of Parks and Rec. What sounds best to you? And we'll just go with that and we'll let the city know.
I'll tell you what sounds best is all the new fancy music and noises you guys play coming into these shows. It gets more fancy every single time.
You know, you never can tell what kind of noises you're going to hear.
New lights morning. Every time I come. It's just, I feel special just coming here. So
we're trying to make it more Nate friendly.
Thank you. That's part of the contract, right?
That's right. That's right.
Monthly appearances of doing this for, I think we've all done it for 20 something years. So yeah.
How many millions have you made off this over the years?
A lot. I do once a month with Brian Barrett too.
There's another.
And that's a 10 minute kind of over the phone thing.
That's got to be worth.
We're renegotiating our contract.
I understand. So starting off this morning, what are some of the things? Because it's been cold out there.
Yeah.
Can you still do Parks and Rec in the cold?
We do Parks and Recreation very well in the cold. We have a lot of people who, you know, really enjoy our facilities in the cold. I think, you know, I was out in the Barfield Park last week in the cold, and it was just a beautiful way to see the park. People are still on the trails. Our office is, you know, right off the greenway, so we see a lot of people still using the trails. But I think there's a warm-up on the way, and I think people are really going to start getting outside and start using those facilities that are just all around us. We've got about 2,000 acres worth of parks. Lots of opportunities for people to get outside.
And sometimes it's actually better being cold outside. You know, I mean, you don't get hot walking. It's just nice.
I like it like that. Some people like Rachel. She likes it when it's blistering hot, but that's just the way it is. But, you know, this time of year, too, the weather's very volatile. You know, we're going from cold into, you know, warmer season, so there's going to be nice days. But inevitably, there'll be some stormier days, some rainier days. So I think people, when that comes, always check out our indoor facilities. You know, we've got just a whole litany of great facilities for people to use that are open 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. plus, and just a lot of things to do at SportsCom, at Patterson, at McFadden Community Center, St. Clair Senior Center, the Wilderness Station. There's just the list kind of goes on and on.
And a lot of new stuff as well. I mean, everything from the skate park, the pump track, to pickleball. How's the pickleball coming along, by the way?
Pickleball is very popular. I was at Old Fort Park this past Saturday, and I was looking out, and I think just the change, the polar shift that we've had at that park, and we always say Old Fort has really been our capstone park. It was developed in the early 80s and really just unique. It was a big park for a municipality, and it really has started to show its age completely, from the golf course to the new pump track, the renovations of the tennis courts, the new ball field up front, and then Kids Castle was done, you know, almost 10 years ago. So it's just a whole new park, and the busyness that you go out there and see and the amount of people using it just tell how new and fresh everything is.
And what year, I know you told me this before, but how many years ago, what year was it when the city first purchased that property where Old Fort Park is today?
It was in the 70s.
And that was before you had real parks.
Before you had real parks, but I think it always shows, I think, the first big investment in the park system and that standard that the council at that time set for the benefits of parks and how they play a role in the livability of a community, and that's never gone away. We fortunately have a city council that believes in the benefits of parks and recreation. We also have a community that believes in the benefits of parks and recreation and who utilize the services at a very high rate. We just finished our buy one, get one sale. Don't remember the exact percentage, but it's just up tremendously. You know, every year goes up. It just shows you that people value the facilities and the programs, and that's just a testament to the hardworking team that we have to make it all happen.
And back in the 70s, I bet the population of Murfreesboro was under 25,000.
Yeah, you think about that and think about the growth that we have now. You know, a big part of what we do, and on Rachel's side, her team, what we do within some of our parks is just preserving natural areas, and that's for generations to come. As the boom comes of development, we look at Barfield Crescent Park. A couple years ago, we were able to add 73 acres on there just to preserve. And we're looking at Veterans Park. That's coming online here in the next year or so. We're working hard on that. But part of that is just preserving natural grasslands and natural areas.
Once Veterans Park is completed and opened, I think, I'm just guessing, looking around at other cities, other communities, I think we're going to have more city park space, more local park space than probably any other city.
You know, I think we're fortunate. We, again, our community believes in the value of parks and recreation. We're continuing to grow and expand, and our council is very engaged with what we're doing and how we're developing the spaces that are currently owned by the city and prospective places and how we offer. A community that's growing so fast, we need just more of everything. People could look at ball fields. Of course, we need more ball fields, but we just renovated Siegel Soccer Complex. We could use more soccer fields. We're always looking to try to manage that growth, but our council's asked us to look at really hard at what it looked like after Veterans Park to really focus on getting some more ball fields. And we've got some plans working and evaluating and constantly pushing the threshold of what we can provide and offer.
When you visit a city where there is an abundance of park space, it feels different. It feels, I don't know, cleaner, fresher. There's something about parks that are more welcoming than anything else you could have in a city.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's just green space. And I think seeing people be active in a way where they're not working, but just being able to relax and exercise. And it just shows, you know, I think going back to Old Fort Park, you drive past Old Fort Park and you see the greenway going through there. People are moving. People are smiling. You go down the greenway and people are happy. And it's unique. And we're fortunate to be able to provide these spaces to the community.
Have you ever seen someone not smiling in the park? I mean, have you spotted
that? I have, but... Bicycle. I ride my bike on the greenway, and I think when you're riding on the greenway, just seeing people's faces, just getting out, there's just something to be said about just smiling and acknowledging your neighbor and people that are on the greenway with you.
And we're getting back to that time of year where folks are, I mean, I know some people who literally walk or bike to work now.
Yeah.
Because you have that opportunity through the greenway trail.
You do. You can jump on and off several locations. A lot of people go downtown. I do have to say, with how busy our greenway system is, our Murfreesboro Police Department helps us patrol that. Fortunately, we're able to keep it as safe as possible and feel very confident in the safety of it, especially in the downtown areas. They're patrolling extra hard these days. We certainly appreciate the partnership we have with them and what it takes from not just Parks and Recreation, but all the departments within the city to be able to provide quality spaces.
You do always feel, I think, safe here in Murfreesboro on the park trails, on the greenway, all of that. And especially if you compare it to some of the bigger cities like Central Park, yeah. You know, I would much rather be here.
We have a notoriously very safe park system. We've all been doing this for a long time, and we're fortunate to be able to say that. Most of that's due to the type of programming activity that we put in these spaces so we can activate them in positive ways. But also, our Murfreesboro Police Department, I think we've got 8 dedicated police officers that just work on the host team or park specific. So that helps us out tremendously, and we partner with them every single day.
Now, some of the programs that are coming up, in fact, summer programs, registration for some of the programs, and I guess spring programs and summer programs, just around the corner, girls flag football being one of them. Is that new?
That is a new program, Scott. As you know, Spring Fling is just around the corner, and TWSAA kind of broke the events up, and they've made it into a 2-week event. But we are hosting the girls flag football, the first inaugural championship this May. So to help get girls involved in flag football and help promote this growing sport as well, we've got a program that girls 9 to 13 can register now. And it's a recreational program. So if you've never played flag football, or if you've got a daughter or granddaughter that has never played, it's a great way to get introduced to it before they get to that high school level.
Is that becoming a sport in high school?
It is a TWSAA recognized sport now, and the championships will be during the Spring Fling weeks.
That's wild. You know, that's pretty cool, though, that absolutely, that is another option.
Well, last year they had a tester program, and they did that and lacrosse, and I think they had over 100 girls flag football teams and only about 20 or 30 lacrosse teams.
Wow.
And so they did do their inaugural. They did just basically a play-in tournament or an invitational tournament last year. It went over so well that TWSAA board has voted that in as an official high school sport. They'll play their championships in the spring.
So you expect the girls flag football sign up to be pretty big this year?
We hope so. It's gradually increasing. I think a lot of it's awareness, and then a lot of it is that I don't know. So, you know, we want to make it clear it's a beginner introduction flag football, so it's a great place to start.
So again, where will the games and stuff like that be played?
They'll be played at Siegel Park. Yeah, our flag football season in the fall, which is a traditional flag football league, they play at Siegel, and then we'll mimic that in the spring for the girls' flag football.
So this is a good introduction to the NFL for a lot of these girls, I'm sure.
Right. Good start.
Yeah. And then summer camp registration, that is something else that's going to be starting next month. It's hard to believe that summer is like we're already talking about it.
Right. And this is perhaps our most popular programs across the board. Summer camp registration starts Monday, and that's both online and in person.
So March 2nd, 8 a.m. is when that opens up.
That's it.
And to register online, do you literally just go to the park's website and you'll see where to click?
You can click on the summer camp. We encourage people with the system that we use, if they've used it in the past, they need to go in there and reconfigure the system, make sure their password's set up correctly, because sometimes it'll make you renew your password. And there's the best way I can say it, there's a high demand for all of our summer camps, and they'll fill up very quickly. But we do want to make sure we can get people in there, make sure your account's set up, make sure everything's ready to go. If you don't have an account, go ahead and set it up. Create a household. That way you can do it there. But you can register at our main office at 2140 North Thompson Lane, which is our administrative office for SportsCom or Patterson Park Community Center.
Which is the brand new office. I mean, it's been open for a little while now.
Yeah.
But yeah, how is that working out compared to where you were before?
Yeah, it's great. We have our administrative team together, which has been really beneficial. You know, before we were kind of all spread out.
But, so all four of y'all in the same office
kind
building?
Kind of scary, right?
It is, yeah. The stuff you could come up
but
with.
But before, we were all at four different locations. So for how big our organization is, you know, we have over 500 employees in our peak season. So it's just good to centralize our administrative team, and I think it's been a beneficial aspect for the department.
And Rachel Singer here as well.
Rachel Singer.
The only Rachel Singer. What are the most popular summer type programs that you guys have, or what have been historically over the years?
Oh, we have so many. Summer's a great time to enjoy our parks. And so, like we were talking earlier, our summer camp programs are super popular, and we have everything from sports camps to outdoor camps, cultural art camps, history camps. So whatever kind of kid you have, you can find something.
History camp. That sounds interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
That's at Bradley Academy Museum and Cultural Arts Center. They do a great job kind of immersing kids into all things history, Rutherford County.
Now, each of these camps, how long do they last? And can a kid take more than one summer camp?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of kids do the whole menu of summer camps and really get a good diverse programming experience. But you can pick and choose, and we've got, you know, programs for all ages. Our youngest camp starts at 7, so then we run through. We've got stuff for 17-year-olds. So, and then you also have kind of like your all-day camps, your half-day camps, and a lot of that depends on the ages of the kids.
Cool. Okay. So, again, summer camp registration, a huge variety of camps, and you can register starting on March 2nd.
Yeah.
And we have a spotlight on the website, so that's a great place to go. And I think we have 22 camps this year. So we encourage you to go on there, look at all of them, read about them. There's detailed descriptions, kind of find what's right for you. So then on Monday at 8 a.m., you're ready to
You'll know
to
what
get
to,
going. Yeah.
What to do, what to register for.
Right.
And again, I know every year the number changes, but how many kids typically do y'all see at all the summer camps combined?
Man, we'd have to add them up because, you know, each camp kind of has a different capacity, but it's
in the thousands.
Right? Yep. Yeah.
And it's wild how many new people are moving here. I mean, families with kids. Do you see a lot of new faces?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. And then we see, you know, some of the old ones that come through just year after year, and it's really fun to watch them grow up through our camps.
I think, you know, thinking back on camps, one of the cool things that we've seen is kids who participate in some of our outdoor camps have gone on to work for us in different capacities. We do a junior lifeguard camp, and then we've had, I mean, dozens of those kids go through and actually become lifeguards and work for us for a long time. So
I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool to see.
I'm curious, are there any plans for a second pool in the future? A second outdoor pool in the future?
You know, it's something we're always looking at, not immediate plans for another pool. You know, we've got our three pools. We've got two at SportsCom and one at Patterson. But, you know, there's so many needs. It's like we were talking about earlier, there's so much. I think it's something we wouldn't be opposed to talking about in the future. But we're just, you know, kind of evaluating all options right now.
Now, on that Veterans Park, I know we're jumping all over the place. place. It's okay. On the Veterans Park, what are some of the different amenities, different things that people will have there?
You know, when people go to Veterans right now, they'll pass by it, and they're excited because they see that main entry is paved, and that's pretty much done. But that gets back to really where we call the heart of the park. And what you'll find there is a destination playground unlike anything we have in the park system. It's a Compan playground, if anybody wants to look that
up. Wait, what was that word
again?
Compan?
Compan.
Compan.
K-O-M-P-A-N. So it's a unique style of playground that we're really excited about. It's going to be big and something people are definitely, you know, going to travel across town to take their kids to. But we'll have 8 pickleball courts, kind of a multi-purpose field. We've got 4 pavilions, an event space, and almost 5 miles of trails.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah.
That's a lot. That's more than I would have imagined, I guess.
Yeah, it's 3.7 miles of formal paved trails and then another mile of informal trails that'll go through some of the natural areas and then our grasslands.
How many acres are out there?
150 acres. Okay. So when people, if they're familiar with the site, if you drive past it and you go, you know, northbound towards 840, you'll see some dirt mounded up, and that's where, you know, some future city uses might be it a fire department, a police precinct, fire station. That'll be there, and then a couple of other things. But yeah, we've got 150 acres. Again, one of our main goals is to preserve some of these spaces for generations to come.
Now, I think when I last spoke to the fire chief, he was talking about how I think they already leveled the land where they're going to build a fire station or something. I guess that's next to that bank.
Yeah, they're working on kind of the foundation work. You know, I'm not sure necessarily plans for timeline on that, but it's ready made for them. And we've proven, so our office at 2140 North Thompson Lane, we're neighbors with the fire department. We share a building with them, so we'll be glad to have them within any park.
Well, what's cool about that location is it's right across from an area that's really being developed into a medical community. I mean, there's a lot. You got the West Lawn Hospital, the ER across the street, TOA. I mean, there's just MMCs there. It's kind of almost therapeutic in a way.
Yeah, and what's fun is you look at an area like this and the moves that were made several years ago, and you know, our pause and repositioning with a park in the west side of town to say this 150 acres, you know, this is going to be a great area with development all the way around it, from residential to commercial, medical, to make this a place that we can preserve and be a really a great destination for a park.
It'll be nice. I mean, once it's all complete, it's going to be pretty cool having that there.
Yeah, and you know, people are asking for a timeline. We say in the early months of 2027. We're still, you know, it's really early on. We'll have to get through, you know, the spring, see how the rainy season goes, and then we'll have kind of a better estimate of when we think it's going to be done.
Now, some of the ideas that came from the community, because I know you had public meetings and public input throughout the whole process when y'all were deciding on moving forward with it. Did those go into making the park?
Absolutely. We take all of that. You know, I think you take what's feasible combined with what people would like to see and then count on our general undertone of what we think the park should be. And I was really pleased with the final product. And I think the people who come to Murfreesboro to visit this park and the people in Murfreesboro will really enjoy it. One of the biggest things, so it's Veterans Park, and we wanted to come up with a way, you know, to honor our veterans, not just here, but across the country. So there's a really, really big American flag right in the middle of the park that's, I think, going to be unique.
Like a flag, like on a pole?
Big flag.
That's a good idea. That's cool. And did you have any crazy ideas going into this? Folks were saying, you know, hey, I wish we could have this. I wish we could have that.
We have lots of crazy ideas, and we brainstorm those and come up, I think, with a plan that's feasible and the thing that'll be, you know, I think, universally accepted and likable at a park like this.
Sounds good. Again, that was Nate Williams. So what else is happening within the park system that is new or maybe folks don't know about yet?
We do have the Daddy-Daughter Dance coming up March 14th, and that has proven to be a really big event. You can get your tickets online, but that's where dads and daughters can come out, and there's dinner and dancing and just a really sweet, special night for families.
It's funny how when I ask, is there anything new, they all look at Lynn right away, like she's got the answers for everything.
Well, she just really likes talking on this, you know, and she was like, she said, hey, make sure I get my time, and we said, okay, Lynn. We'll get you your time.
Was she practicing in the hallway?
She's been up since 4 this
up
morning.
Her voice
yeah.
Perfect.
Just trying to get to make it perfect.
What is that entertainer? Like lemons and
honey
and lemons? Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So what else is happening? 50th anniversary. Now, that's the 50th anniversary for the parks?
That is for Canonsburg.
For Canonsburg, okay.
And Rachel can probably talk a little bit more about that. But Canonsburg will be turning 50 on June 26th. And we're going to have a big celebration that day and invite everybody out, the community, and come out and celebrate 50 years. And one thing we are looking for is pictures. So if anybody has any pictures from Canonsburg from years past and so forth, we have a link. We've got it on the website and on Canonsburg's Facebook page.
So I guess that would mean Canonsburg opened in 1976. I didn't even realize that.
It did. It was a project for the bicentennial. And so that's 100 years of history. All of those buildings were moved from Rutherford County, disassembled, reassembled back on that site for a fun interpretation village. And so we've really been working hard on revitalizing Canonsburg. You know, this whole area is going to really get a facelift, and Canonsburg is up for the challenge. So staff is working super hard implementing new programs and really working on the buildings. You know, they're old buildings, and they've been here 50 years, and so a lot of wear and tear on them. And we've gotten some grants and been able to do some things for improvements there. So we're excited about what's happening at Canonsburg. And like I said, the staff is super creative, and they've got a great menu of programs coming up this summer. And then it's going to culminate into a grand celebration at the end of June for their birthday.
So even though it's the 50th anniversary, I mean, some of those buildings date back, over 100 years?
Right.
So there's a lot more history, I guess, behind it than people may realize.
There is. There's, you know, mid-1800s is the earliest building, but then the oldest building, or the newest building, I guess you would say, is the museum, which was the old cotton gin.
It's the only building that was original.
It's the only one that was original to the site.
Okay, yes. And I'm trying to think. So when you walk in, that building is the one that's directly in the back along the creek?
The back left, yes. Okay. Yep, you got it. So right past the caboose.
So, you know, Canonsburg was a bicentennial project, and we won third place nationally, you know, to recognize the bicentennial. And we're approaching our 250th anniversary. And Rachel's an expert on saying, what? How do you say it?
No,
you were saying you were the expert. Okay, I'm just kidding. So we just say the 250th celebration, because only experts can call it exactly what it is. But we've got some really fun plans in progress, and we're going to be unveiling those soon about how we're going to celebrate that in Murfreesboro. We can say it's probably going to be a two-night event and going to be a lot of fun.
I was there with my grandkids when Santa was there.
Oh, right?
They were very impressed with not only the caboose, but the real Santa. I mean, they were amazed.
He is the real Santa.
They were
amazed. Absolutely.
By him. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
we were lucky to get him booked.
I know.
He's a busy guy this time of year, you know?
But the kids walked in, and they knew their names the second they walked in the room.
Right?
Like only Santa would know that, guys.
It's just really charming down there, no matter what season you go. And we had a blast this Christmas season. We did some new things down there. And, you know, I think any season that you visit, Canonsburg is just a treat.
Yeah, and there's always something going on there, it seems like.
There is.
I think with the opening of Town Creek, when that project's done, it's really a chance for us, and our team is revitalizing Canonsburg and giving more reasons for people to come back frequently.
You know,
that's going to be kind of a direct link, and I think when people are walking that Town Creek area, they're going to naturally just want to go walk around Canonsburg and see kind of an updated, fresh look.
I think once Town Creek is complete, that whole project, I think all of downtown Murfreesboro is going to be, it's like a revitalization to the whole downtown in a way.
It is. And I also think, you know, that's another one of those generational moves. You think about people 40, 50 years from now, you think about the development that's going to happen in Murfreesboro, and they're going to look back and be thankful for, you know, that type of project to have happened, preserve a natural area like that in the middle of downtown.
It's going to look really cool. I mean, it really will. I think it's something that Murfreesboro needed. Maybe they didn't realize it years ago, but it's going to be pretty neat looking. Especially with this old block here. I don't know if you knew this, but they're going to tear down all this block right here. Yeah. So it's going to be cool, though.
Yeah, it's going to be a new look in this specific area, you know, tied to historic downtown as we continue to grow and in the most responsible way we can.
Yeah, more parks and more outdoor activities. I mean, I think that really, it helps.
It's more fun.
It makes life more fun. That's right. We got to take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll talk more about different events happening. The coffee marathon that starts March 1st, I guess. I've already started my coffee marathon this morning. That starts March 1. We'll talk about that and more in just a second. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Local farmers, local meats, vegetables, and other produce at the Winter Spring Rutherford County Farmers Market.
Bundle up and make your way every Friday at Lane Agri Park.
This is Peter Demas. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. A lot of times when you get steamed vegetables such as broccoli or cauliflower, it's either soggy. One of the things that we wanted to do was make certain that it was still soft, but still had a little bit of a crunch to it. And so we worked on the procedure of how to cook that. And then all of our vegetables are seasoned with our seasoned salt. We keep that seasoned salt at home, and I can tell you almost all the vegetables I cook at home have the seasoned salt on it. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Our prices are as good or better than the box stores. I don't think you'll do better by shopping online than you would by coming in. If you're into podcasting, we have starter kits that have everything you need to get started. The interface for your computer, microphone, headphones, you'll be online in no time. If you need a PA, you need lights, we've got all for rent. Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
South Central Bank has two CD specials that will help your money grow. South Central Bank has a five-month CD with an annual percentage yield of 4.15% or a 25-month CD with an annual percentage yield of 3.8%. Two great ways to put your money to work. You choose the term that works best for you. $500 minimum balance to obtain the APY. Stop by any of our convenient South Central Bank locations today and take advantage of our two great rates. South Central Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Right now that time, 8:46. Again with us this morning in studio, Murfreesboro Parks and Rec. And this morning we've got Nate Williams, Rachel Singer, Lynn Caldwell, and the one and only Thomas Laird, all in studio with us this morning.
I feel
all
like you know us too well, you know?
It's like you've been here before. It's strange, but yeah. Anyway, also happening, the coffee marathon, that starts... Does it actually start March 1, or is that registration for it?
No, it starts March 1st. You can go online and sign up starting on March 1st. And it actually is, you will be able to log, if you do the whole program, 26.2 miles. We have, I think, 9 different locations where you can go get a cup of coffee, and then you kind of just log your walk or run that you do around that area. When you sign up, you'll get all the different locations and then the exact... places to run.
So
the route, that's the word I'm looking for, the route and stuff.
If I do this, mm-hmm. You know, the coffee marathon, by the time I'm finished, can I officially say that I'm a marathon runner?
You can officially walker? Say you did the coffee marathon. And you get a really cool coffee cup at the end.
You could also say you ran to work this morning, but nobody...
I could.
You could say anything.
But it just sounds more impressive just to say I'm a marathoner.
I think it's specific to the coffee marathon, you know?
Yeah, if I leave the word coffee out and just say I'm a marathoner, it just sounds like I'm in shape or something. It could fool a lot of people on the radio.
You be you, but it's still good for you. I don't want to discredit what the coffee marathon does.
I know.
It's a great way to get up, get moving, get active.
It's a good way to get caffeinated.
It is. And we say on there, you can do it however you want. So you can do it in a week. You can do it. I think you can do it in a day. Yeah, you can do it in a day. Some people do. Or I think it ends May 31st. So you've got like from March through May to do it.
And then once you do all the stops and all that, you get an official coffee mug.
Yes, a really cool coffee mug. mug. I have one. I did most of the marathon.
Did you do the whole marathon? Wait a second.
Wait a second.
So, let's just say I went to all the coffee spots.
So who
I may have been short a little bit. But you go to Patterson Park, and so you get everything when you sign up online, and then you go to Patterson Park and turn your stuff in, and you'll get your mug.
Are you presented the mug or just given the mug?
You're presented the mug, yes.
What do you want, Scott? We'll make it happen.
Is there a podium to stand on at the end?
It. Yes, yes.
Good. We got to make a note, guys. If Scott does this.
If he does it.
Like when he comes, yeah, we'll have trumpets, we'll have whatever you think you need to make it special.
That makes me excited about it. Yeah. Right there.
You should do it.
I need to.
Yes, yes.
So what else is happening within
I'm gonna
the parks?
Rachel talk a little bit more about another really cool program we have called Neighbors of Patterson Park.
Neighbors
happening right now.
Okay. Neighbors of Patterson.
Yeah. So this is a really unique program, and there's a couple of elements to it. So the larger overreaching program is called Youth Led. So LED stands for Leadership, Environmental, and Design. And this is an intensive summer program for our high schoolers. They meet with staff June and July, and half of the day they're working with our natural resource staff out in our parks in our natural areas, doing hands-on work, kind of learning the ins and outs of the natural resource side of it. And then in the afternoon, they're in a classroom in Patterson and going through a curriculum on permaculture design, where they will receive a certificate at the end of the summer for that. And so within that program, they are eligible for a $500 stipend, plus they get boots and t-shirts, plus that certificate, and also community service hours. So it's a really, really great program for our youth. And so this participating neighbors section of it, we're reaching out to the neighbors of Patterson community, where we are asking if, you know, they would like these students to come and do a design plot on their front yard, backyard, whatever that looks like. And then that way the kids can actually implement what they're learning in a design. And so they would have to interview with them. They would have to ask, you know, like what their needs are, what they're looking for plant-wise. You know, do they want shade? Do they want sun? That sort of thing. And then the kids go back and design their yard. And then they give the design to that neighbor. They don't have to implement it or anything like that. But it's a really great program. They also would get a fruit tree and installed. And so there is some incentive there. And the idea is the food forest is, you know, kind of implementing our food, plants, bushes, trees in with our native plants. And so it's really good for the community and for our local wildlife.
How important is it to get local children involved in stuff like the parks?
Oh, I mean, it's super important. And then, you know, the natural resource element of it is, if you're asking me, is super important because, you know, like that's the base of what we're looking at for our biodiversity. And to be able to, for the kids to learn that part of it right alongside with the staff and to see that hands-on implication of how we work with our natural resources within our parks. I mean, it really gives them a lot of opportunity and eye-opening experiences on how to use these things in an application.
And you've had so many programs over the years. I mean, everything from working with MTSU on understanding the river, cleaning the river, just, I mean, all sorts of things over the years that I think it does give kids a better grasp, better understanding on, you know, the need to take care of this,
right,
or take care of, you know, all these things in the future.
Right. And it's important, you know, that we get them as young as we can. And we've got toddler programs that start with environmental education. But getting them exposed and to understand our natural world is important to be able to protect and preserve those areas.
I know one of the more interesting ones that I still don't know how you do. The hummingbirds and tagging.
It's my favorite.
Certain hummingbirds.
Definitely our favorite.
Still don't know how, because they're so fast.
They are fast. You'll have to come out and see.
I know.
That'll answer all your questions.
but there are things like that happen really throughout the year. I mean, there's always some type of program going on.
There is, absolutely. That's the goal, and there's plenty of education out there, and our staff is great at being able to offer that to the public.
How big of a staff does it take to, you know, plan and outline all of this that goes on?
I mean, it does take a lot. And I think across our divisions, you know, our staff is creative and they're motivated. They listen to the public, and then they go to work on the organization part of it. So it's impressive.
And there's a lot of, I mean, you got a lot of part-timers who help out. You got, I mean, there's just a lot that goes into the park system that probably, from the outside looking in, people don't really understand how it all runs. I mean, because there's a lot to it.
Probably not. And there's just so many opportunities. And, you know, like Nate's mentioned in the past, we're really lucky that we're supported so well, because the possibilities are endless. And so it's just a matter of time and implementation there.
And Nate, I meant to ask you earlier, whenever I was talking about the Veterans Park, is there a survey out right now or what?
Yeah, so that's across the department. I'm sorry, across the department, not specific to Veterans Park. But we're updating our master plan. Thomas has done a really good job kind of heading that up from our end as far as, you know, we did it back in 2018, and we're going to revamp and renew this master plan that we have. And we've been having stakeholder meetings at all of our facilities and then divisional areas. And it's been really positive. I think people are happy with what's happening, and we're glad to hear the feedback that people are providing. But the best way to provide the feedback is we have a survey that people can participate in. It's MurfreesboroParks.com, and there's a link to the survey right on that front page. So we want to get as many people responding so we can hear exactly what people would like to see, how people feel about our facilities, and how they'd like to see them managed moving forward. And this has been a fun project. We're tackling this project in-house, and it's been a lot of work. We're fortunate to have a couple of academics on our staff that help with the surveys and stuff like that, so we can generate some really good data and compile that and really help us chart a path for the next 5 years.
Hey, and when you're working with like the city council or the mayor or whatnot, are you also helping them or working with them on like the major thoroughfare plan and figuring out new direction for new parks in those areas where they're slowly developing over the years?
That's an all of city approach. You know, our council's very engaged. Our parks commission is engaged. The planning commission is very engaged. Our planning team, development services. I think that's where we all have to work together and listen to each other. Just make sure we're charting a path in the right direction. And it's a fun time to be a part of the city because that's happening right now. And we look forward to playing whatever small role we can play in that.
And then another thing that, and I forgot to mention this earlier, but the working with the national parks, with the Civil War battlefield, the Stone River Civil War, and all of that, I mean, that's something else that you guys are actively doing. I mean, that's another part of the parks.
Yeah, we do. We actually met with a superintendent from the Stones River National Battlefield a couple weeks ago. He and Rachel and I met with the city manager and the mayor and just talked about what we're doing together. And our partnership, Rachel kind of fosters that, and our rep from that side has never been better. We work together. We do several events throughout the course of the year. A lot of our properties are right next to theirs. We're fortunate to have had properties donated to us from the American Battlefield Trust that are adjacent to national parks. So we're learning from them the best way to kind of present and honor those and add those to the park system and make sure we represent those in the best way we can.
Well, what's cool about that, and I guess I didn't really understand it until I read more about it online, there's only like a handful of city park departments that work with the national parks, you know, on parks, on park systems and so forth. So it's kind of an honor. I mean, it's cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, I think we work with what Rachel was talking about earlier, our natural resources side. I think that is very unique to have a natural resources division within a municipal park system. And I think they like the idea of that, and they work together and our teams work together to really preserve these areas. And again, now that we've had several properties donated to us by the American Battlefield Trust that are completely adjacent, it's just a great time to renew and always refresh that relationship and, you know, make both the organizations best we can.
We've got like 2 seconds left because there's 2 commercials I forgot to
put in there. MurfreesboroParks.com for all things related to parks and recreation.
And there you can learn
take
all.
Take the survey.
And register for the summer camps, register for the coffee marathon, you know, all of that stuff.
All the things, yep.
Sounds good. Well, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Scott.
Again, with us today, folks from the Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department. Stay with us. We do have more news coming your way next, including a look at local news in just a minute.
Rocky the Raccoon's got the know-how.
Well, we're back for another Teaching Tuesday.
He's smart. This is the Recycled Minute, powered by RecycleRightTN.com.
And I've got a whole bin full of brilliance for you this morning. Save old bottle caps for art projects. You glue them into mosaics, making a beautiful piece of art, or fashion them together to make a coaster. You can also use them to make colorful signs. It's creative and keeps those tiny plastics from sneaking into landfills, which we don't want. For more ideas or locations on where you can recycle near your house, visit RecycleRightTN.com. And I'm Rocky, the Recycling Raccoon, and I'm out of here.
And that's today's Recycled Minute with Rocky the Raccoon. Find the closest place to recycle near you by going to RecycleRightTN.com.